Well, I want to spend a few minutes now in a passage of Scripture. As I said, our meetings are titled Come Alive. And there's a beautiful verse in the Gospel of John that we want to take a few moments and look at. I want to tell you a little story first. And some of you heard this before, but years ago, my first wife and I, we wanted to just advertise around Christmas how awesome our God was, so we put a sign across the front of our house. And it was a long sign. It was probably, I don't know, 20 feet wide. And it said on it, Jesus gives new life. We put it up there and we liked what it said. And as a matter of fact, some people stopped and asked me about it. And one guy actually came and visited me and he said, I have to ask you about your sign. Because we left it up there way past Christmas. We left it up all year for all the whole year. And he said to me, when I saw that sign first, I was driving by and I said, oh, they must have had a baby at that house. Because they said, Jesus gives new life. They're thanking God that they had a baby. But he said the sign stayed up all year long. So he said he kind of wondered, well, why wouldn't you take it down if you had a baby? Maybe it wasn't that. What? Why is that sign there? And so I explained to him why. Because Jesus can give us a new life. And I explained to him from the Word of God. So that was okay. Now in the middle of the summer, close to the end of the summer, the thing was is that the sign was at the front of the house and it was kind of low. And the weeds grew up. And the flowers, not the weeds, but flowers, right? Sunflowers are weeds. Anyway, me and flowers. Anyway, they grew up. And as they grew up around it, it kind of obscured the sign some. And we didn't want to cut the flowers off. So I said, well, once the flowers bloom, we'll cut them off and have the sign there again. Anyway, this one day, this lady comes knocking on my door. And she was very irate. She said, I don't think that's very nice, that sign you have over on the front there. I said, you know, I was kind of surprised. Why would that offend her? I said, well, what's the matter with it? She said, I think it's very ignorant of you to put that up there. Why would you put that on the front of your house? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? She said, why would you put on the front of your house that Jesus is a newfie? I said, what? She said, why would you put on the front of your house that Jesus is a newfie? I said, what are you talking about? She said, that's what you have on the front of your house. I said, no, yes. I said, well, come on, let's go and have a look. So we walk around to the front, and I said, look, it says Jesus gives new life. Oh my goodness, she says. The flowers had grown up and obscured some of the letters, and when she was driving by, she looked and she saw Jesus is a newfie. She jammed the brakes on, came swinging in and was going to come swinging, I think, at me. She was upset. She thought, she didn't know if I was making fun of Jesus or making fun of newfies. She didn't understand what it actually said. And I'll tell you, friends, a lot of people don't understand what Jesus has to say. They don't see the reality of what God is saying. It's amazing to me, there are people who read the Bible, but they still don't understand that Jesus gives new life. That his plan and purpose to come into this world was to give us not just a makeover, but a brand new life, a new heart, a wonderful change, a transformation that happens from the inside out. We just wanted God to come along and fix a little bit here and a little tweak there and a little tweak there. God says, no, no. We have a sinful nature that has corrupted us and we need a new beginning. And it can only come from the Lord. So when we read John 10:7, this passage of Scripture, there's one verse I'm going to focus on, but I wanted to put it in the context that it was in. It says in John 10:7, Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus called himself the good shepherd. And he spoke about taking them in and out of the fold where there's safety and bringing them to pasture and looking after his sheep. And he said, I want you to understand something. I am the door of the sheep. He said this, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He says that anybody else that claims to be the door, they're a thief and they're a robber. Anybody else that claims to be the way to God, they're wrong. Now that's just plain words of Jesus. For he said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There's no other way. There's no other possibility. And so that's why he could say, anybody who comes before me are thieves and robbers. She did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. Or she will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Don't you love that word, saved? Isn't that a glorious word? It means that you'll be kept by the power of God. Not by your power, but by his power. He says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I can enter in by Jesus Christ. He's the door. He's the way, the truth, the life to the Father. And if I want to go in, I have to come by Christ. But if I do come by Christ, I'll be saved. That begs a question tonight. Are you saved? Can you say, I am saved? Oh, I could never say that. I'm not good enough to be able to say that. Of course you're not good enough. You're not saved by your goodness. You're saved by his goodness. You're not saved by what you do. You're saved by what he's done. He's the Savior. He's the one that died on that cross for our sins. And so he says, anyone enters by me, he will be saved. That's the word of Jesus Christ. Isn't that enough for you tonight? Can't you lay hold of those words for yourself? And say, yes, Lord, okay, God, Jesus, I'm coming by you. Jesus, I'm putting my faith in you. Jesus, I'm trusting in the forgiveness that you give to me, Lord. And you will be saved. And then it says, go in and out and find pasture. And what it means there is that you'll find rest, security, and you'll also find provision, because that's what the sheep did. When they went in a sheepfold, they went into a place where they were protected by them from the wolves. And we all need protection. There's still wolves around. We were coming over the mountain the other day, and there's this big coyote there alongside of the road. A little too tame, really. So, but there's worse than those coyotes and wolves and whatever else the woods would hold. There's the devil himself. He's called the thief, the robber, the liar. And he is seeking, the Bible says, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he's devouring people in Bay St. Lawrence. And he's devouring people in Margaree and in Shettycamp. And in every community, the devil is devouring people with sin. He's bringing them to ruin and destruction. He will devour every person who does not put their faith in Jesus Christ. He will devour every person who does not come to Jesus Christ as the way and put their faith in him. He will devour every person who is not saved. He will. That's what he does. Because look what the next verse says in John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Come alive. Come alive to Jesus Christ. Come alive by trusting in Christ as your Savior. You can come alive. You can be born again in this very day, this very hour. You can be born of the Spirit of God by simply trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because then it's the shepherd's responsibility to look after the sheep. You know, for many, there's this great fear. Well, maybe if I accept him as my Savior now, but how am I going to be able to keep walking with God? How am I going to be strong enough to be able to make it? It's because he will do it. Tell me something. Whose responsibility is it to make sure that the sheep are okay? Is it the sheep's responsibility or is it the shepherd's? Shepherd. It's the shepherd's responsibility. Oh, it takes a load off of me. I can't look after myself. Just ask Heather.
We all know here.
But Jesus can look after me. Amen. And he can use you guys to help. Yeah. But when it comes to the soul, when it comes to salvation, Only Jesus will do. Do we see that? You see how clear it is? But not only will only Jesus do, but Jesus can. Not only Jesus can, but he will. Because if you look in this verse, he says something here. He says the thief comes, okay? The devil comes. The devil comes to people. The devil tempts people. The devil twists the truth around. The devil will tell you, you can't be sure that you're saved. The devil is a liar. The Bible says he's the father of lies in John chapter 10. And so he'll tell you you can't be saved. He'll tell you you're not good enough to be saved. He'll tell you that you have to, it's your good works that save you. But your good works can't save you. If your good works could save you, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on a cross. Just go and do your good works. No, he said, there's no other way. It's my way. It's his good work that saves you. And oh, what salvation it is. But that's what the thief does. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He comes to rob you of life. We see his handiwork all around us. But now we have this verse. I have come, Jesus says. You know, it's one thing to say, well, I'd like to come to Jesus. Well, I'd like to know where Jesus is. I'd like to find God. And you know, I've met people, many people say, well, I'm seeking for God. And what I often say to them is, listen, I want you to know God is seeking for you. Yes. Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So if you're lost in your sins, and it's not hard to be there, all you have to do is sin once and you're lost in your sins. There's a Savior looking for you. He's come a long way. How far did he come? He came from heaven's glory. He came and became one of us and grew up in this world and was beaten and whipped and mocked and scorned, and finally they crucified him on a cross. But he came for that very purpose. He came to die on a cross for your sins and mine. He came to give his life for us. The Bible says he gave his life a ransom for many. And that's you. That's you. He came to die on that cross for you. So when he says, I have come. Wow. How far do you have to go to get to Jesus? Not very far at all. How far did he have to go to get to you? A long way, my friend. Jesus has come a long way so that you could come a very short way to him and say, yes, Lord, I trust you as my Savior. We don't have to get in a rocket ship. We don't have to try to get as high as we can. Remember in the Old Testament at the Tower of Babel, they decided they were going to build a tower to the heavens. They were going to make their way to God by building this tower. And so many people are still doing the same thing. Well, I'm going to start a religion that's going to get us to God. Well, if you follow this religion and follow these rules, you'll get to God. I don't care what the name of any religion is. It's that's not the answer. The answer is Christ has come to be with us. Amen. The answer is God has come all the way down so that we can go all the way up. The only way you can get to heaven is for him to lift you up. But praise God, he is strong enough, he is able enough, and he has done the work that enables you to be lifted. Because there at that cross, he took the punishment for your sins, which will surely put people in hell, whether you like it or whether you don't. If there's no hell, then there shouldn't have been a Savior suffering on that cross. How many people have said to me, I don't believe in hell. Well, let me tell you something, then you don't believe that Jesus died on a cross for your sins, because he wouldn't have died on a cross if there was no hell. Why would he bother? Why would he bother? Friends, he needed to die there so that you wouldn't perish in hell. He took the guilty sinner's place there. And I praise God that he did. Yes, the thief has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus Christ has come that we could have life. New life. That's why we need the new birth. And that's what the new birth is. To come to Jesus and trust in him. And we become born again of the Spirit of God. And when that happens, he says, listen, I just haven't just come to give you life. I haven't come to give you a bare existence. I haven't come to give you just a scratch by experience here. I have come that you might have life and that you will have it to the max. Have it to the full. That's God's promise. So let me encourage you, every one of us here. Lay hold of all that God has for you. He is pouring it out towards each one of us tonight. He is giving himself away to us. Take hold of Jesus tonight. Come and have eternal life. That's his promise. That's what he gives to us. And he says it is a rich and abundant life. Not consisting of the abundance of your possessions. But Jesus said a man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. But your life consists of being with Jesus Christ. This wonderful Savior who has come all the way home for us. So that we could come home to be with him. He has come to you so you can be with him. And be with him now. Not just when you get to heaven, but right now, there is abundant life in Jesus Christ.
There is.
Don't look elsewhere. Give your whole heart, your whole soul to Jesus Christ. Surrender to him every day. Let him be the ruler of your heart and life. So in one sense, yeah, Jesus is a Newfie. And Jesus is a Cape Bretoner. And Jesus is for every person on this planet, no matter who they are or where they're from. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to live in our hearts. That's that abundant life. He has come to be with us forever. He has come to be our strength and our power and our life and our peace and our joy. I praise God for that. And I'm so thankful tonight that if you trust in Christ, you have eternal life. And that he gives this abundant and rich life for you. And he can give it right now. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Jesus gives new life. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about the entrance of into that new life. This new birth that can happen. How it is that we can go from death to life. Because that surely must happen. If I don't go from death to life, I'm still dead. We'll find out in the Bible, it says, if you don't have Christ, you're dead in your sins. And that's where we'll go from there. But tonight, embrace the reality that Jesus Christ is offering new life to anyone that's willing to come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight that new life is available in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and have life and have it more abundantly. Open our eyes, Lord. Don't let them be blinded by the devil. Oh, Lord, we pray you'll open eyes all through these communities. You'll cause people to see, Lord, and turn to the living God. Cause them to cry out, Lord. The devil's a cruel taskmaster. He has destroyed so many lives, Lord. And even now, there are people who are crying out with heartache and pain and sorrow. Even now, people are drowning in alcohol and in drugs and in all kinds of debauchery and sin and sexual immorality. Lord, even now, they are being pressed and crushed under the weight of sin. But we thank God there's a Savior, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you're striding throughout this world and that people who cry out, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Lord, help us to declare that name. Help us to proclaim that truth, O God, that people will turn and live and discover new life in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.